For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. A familiar miracle in the New Testament is Jesus walking on water. This miracle is a vivid demonstration of his control over the realm of nature. But it also is a welcome reminder that he can calm the turbulent storms in our lives today. This morning, Pastor Holland turns our attention to the book of John, chapter 6, as we hear the first part of the sermon, When He Rides Upon the Storm.
I want to speak to you today on the subject, When He Rides Upon the Storm. That seems like a strange title to use for a message, but I'm looking at John chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 16, and reading through verse 21. The Bible said, And when evening was now come, his disciples went down into the ship, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh into the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land, whither they went. Apart from the Bible, there's a poem that was been written, and I believe in Christian literature. It's one of the greatest pieces of work that's ever been written apart from the Word of God. It was written in 1774. I've often quoted it in sermons and used it before. But I'd really never looked at it until I saw this week and began to look at John chapter 6 to think about what it was saying. In the open verse, it was written by William Cowper. In the opening stanza, Cowper wrote, God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps in the sea and he rides upon the storm. And truly, that's where I took my title from today. I don't know exactly what Mr. Cowper was thinking about, but I would have to think that he was probably thinking about one of the passages in the scripture to where the Lord Jesus came in the storm and took care of the disciples and met their every need. More times I remember and think about what Jesus did. Think about him walking on water. I think of the wonderful miracle that he performed. Three of the four Gospels record this account, and truly John's account is probably the most least explained of any of them, just a few short verses that gives it to us. Somebody said this might be the cliff notes of this particular passage of Scripture. But I think today what we see as we ponder it and as we think about it, we think about in our life how strangely it is that God works in mysterious ways. I'm glad today that understand that God does not always work in my way or your way. He doesn't always do what we expect Him to do or even what we want Him to do. But God cares about you. And God will meet your need. I'm glad to know today that I serve a God in heaven that's never made a mistake. I'm glad to know today I serve a God in heaven that has never sinned. And yet today, I think about this passage of Scripture, and I think about folks today that are sitting before me. Friend, we live in a wicked, sinful world. We live in a world of diseases like I've never seen before. Somebody told me the other day, said, the reason you think there's more of it is because you're just getting old and your friends are the ones that's having the problems. It could be. But I believe today that I'm seeing more than I ever have before, problem after problem in people's lives, whether it be sickness, whether it be physical, whether it be financial or whatever it is. I want you to know that time and time again, we know that Jesus is able to ride the storm in order that he might come to us and meet our need. And that's exactly what we find him doing today in our passage of Scripture. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to share with you a few thoughts today about this passage of when Jesus rides upon the storm. First of all, sometimes Jesus sovereignly waits in the storm. Thousands of people had eaten at that miracle before. They had dispersed a bit, and Jesus disappeared upon the mountain alone. The Bible said that evening in verse number 16 that we read a while ago, the disciples went down into the ship. Now, Matthew's account tells us that Jesus told them them to go across to the Sea of Galilee. And so they were doing exactly what he had told them to do as they went there and prepared to leave. But if you look at verse number 17 in John chapter 6, it tells us they complied and they boarded the ship for the crossing. But notice what John says in verse number 17. John says in verse number 17, kind of as an afterthought, but yet in his mind, and Jesus was not come to them. Now that tells me, first of all, that I believe they were expecting him. They thought if he told them to go over, that he would be there with them. And when they got there, he wasn't there. And yet they were expecting him, but they again began to wonder and think about why he was not there. I wonder if that's ever happened to you. Have you ever been looking for Jesus to make an appearance? Have you ever been looking for Jesus to come in your life, and he just didn't show up when you thought he would show up? I think today all of us, we were quite honest with ourselves, that could say that has happened, every one of us in our life. It seemed like maybe the Lord is stalling, or maybe he's making us wait. But could I remind you this morning that everything Jesus does, he does for our benefit and for our blessing. And you can trust him that he always does what is right. One writer said, Jesus graciously delays. They may not feel so gracious at the time. The disciples were probably much disappointed that he was not there. And who in the world would not want Jesus to be with them at all times? And by the way, he is with you at all times, whether you see him physically or whether you see him visibly. He said as a child of God that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. But sometimes, even though he's with us, we can't see him. And here the disciples get ready to go and do what he said, and yet he did not show up. How disappointed they must have been. But notice with me as we move along in the story, notice he does come to them, but he waited until it was dark. The Bible said they entered into the ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and now it was dark. Now, I don't know about you, but darkness is something that perhaps we do not care about so much. It seems in the middle of the night, it seems the hardest time when a person, have you ever been sick or your child's been sick and had a fever? Lord of mercy, it seems as if morning will never come. I remember there's been times in my life when I've had certain pain and things and couldn't sleep, and I'd lay awake all night and I'd toss and turn and whatever, and I would just pray, Lord, have daylight come, because it seems like in the daylight things get a little better. But the idea here reminds us that Jesus did not come to them when they went down to the ship. But not only did he not come to them, but it was in a very dark hour. You see, our sovereign Lord Jesus, he knew what time it was. And by the way, he's always on time. I tell you, no matter how late he may seem to us, he's always right on time. I like the song, 4 days Too Late. And we think about Lazarus dying and being buried. And when they came, they came to him. They ran. The sisters of Lazarus came and ran to the Lord and said, if you would have come, he would have not died. But friend, I want you to know, not only did he die, but they got to witness the resurrection of Lazarus back to life again. Because when Jesus shows up, it's right on time. It's exactly when he's supposed to be there in the time that he will be. Some of you are going through, and maybe even going through, a dark time right now in your life. Sometimes it may seem as if the sun sets and night falls, and it seems as if the morning sun will never come again. You think about how hard it is and how difficult it is. But I want you to know that even understanding today that Jesus is still there, even though you may not see him visibly, and may even be at a time that you don't feel him being with you presently, you can understand and know that he knows every need that you have, and he knows what you're going through. But we understand that in darkness, we're not able to see as well. In the darkness, things aren't as clear. Many times in the darkness, our weary bodies won't shut down. We can't get our eyes to close and sleep. We can't get the rest that we need. We toss and turn, because night is a picture of many times misery. So understand, here's the disciples doing what God told them to do. They go down, they get in the ship, they look around and they see, and he don't show up. God created the day and the night. Understand tonight that the God of the day is the God of the night. Darkness does not limit God's ability to come to us in our time of need. Psalm 74, verse 16, the day is thine, the night also is thine. And I'm glad tonight that He's with us through it all. As we see our Lord sovereignly waiting in the storm, we find that this had happened and took place, and as it began, the Bible said, verse 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Any of you that are boaters and have ever been out where there you've been in rough weather, you know that's not a good place to be. The boat will be tossed and turned, and the waves may be even overcoming the side. But understand that not only did he wait until it was dark, but I want you to notice also, he waited till it was difficult. He waited not only till it was nighttime, but he waited until they got in a storm. You know, to me, it seems to me, we would say, Lord, why would you let us go through something like that? I tell you again, God knows exactly what we need. The Bible said the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. In other words, one fellow said, it literally means the sea began to churn. The sea here refers to a body of water, a lake, really known as the Sea of Galilee. Dr. Ivor Powell, a great preacher of the Word of God, he tells about this lake, and here's what he said. He said, there's times when the waters of Galilee are so calm and placid that storms appear to be impossible. And yet, in frighteningly quick time, the air cools in the mountains, and the winds of hurricane force rush down the hillside to turn the lake into a big storm. That night, a matter of minutes, the disciples found themselves obeying God, doing what Jesus had told them to do. They were going over to the other side. It was dark. It was bad enough it was dark and he hadn't showed up. But now they get in a situation where the storm begins to come upon them. Jesus still has not come yet. He waited till it was dark, and he waited till they got in trouble. He waited till there was a storm. And the Bible said when the storm come, look at verse number 19. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. Now, based on what we know about the size of the lake, as well as how much John has managed to go, the men weren't making any progress at all. In something like, according to that verse, from what I understand, that was about 8 or 9 hours. The men had rowed little more than 3 miles in 8 or 9 hours. Now, that's not very far. That's not making progress very much. No doubt their legs and their backs and their arms were burning and aching. They dug their oars in and they rowed as hard as they could. They were drenched, no doubt, with the water that had splashed inside, but probably the sweat, and they were physically exhausted. Where was Jesus while they was rowing? He was waiting. He was waiting. And by the way, he was watching. He knew it was dark. He knew it was difficult. But he was waiting to the right time in order that he might come. Anyone who told you that Christian life was going to be an easy ride, they lied to you. Friend, I want you to know today, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was I became a child of God. But I tell you, when I became a child of God, I embarked upon one of the stormiest rides I've ever been on in my life. Because when you become a child of God, you become an enemy of the devil. The Bible said the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour.
Are you in a storm? Are the waves in your life overwhelming? We all have experiences in our lives that are turbulent. If you desire peace, Jesus is the source of peace that passes all understanding. We would love to introduce you to Him. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 1-800-231-3792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.